We welcome Mark Hinton. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Catherine. Always good to be with you talking sport.
Let's talk about the rugby, the Hurricanes. Like, I mean, it's a little bit like the sort of Warriors equivalent in the capital. It's just like you're just waiting for it to end. 8-0, Blues 7-1. What are we? This is their results. Where are we thinking this is all going to end up, Mark?
Well, Catherine, I have to say, after viewing the weekend's action, you couldn't help but emerge with a wee bit of a theme. Anything you can do, I can do just as well. That seems to be what the Hurricanes and Blues are indulging in at the moment. Look, the Canes have been very impressive, as you touched on, 8-0. Eight on an eight-match unbeaten streak, and they went to Suva at the weekend with, and beat the Fiji and Drua in Fiji, which no one has managed to do this year. So another notable result, really, in a season full of them. Did it with a lot of changes, using a lot of their backup players in sort of strategic positions, and those guys just did not miss a beat. So that was very, very impressive from the Hurricanes. But then the very next night, the Blues came out at home against the Brumby side. Also, they were also, I think, 6-1 heading into this game and looking good. Equal second on the table with them and absolutely demolished them. 7 tries they run in a 46-7 victory. So you have to say right now, Hurricanes top, Blues 5 points behind them and 5 clear in second spot. It looks a two-horse race for the championship, on form anyway, between the Hurricanes and the Blues. And wouldn't you know it, in the 2 or 3 weeks' time, May the, let me look that up, May the 11th, I believe, they meet at Eden Park in what shapes as a potential, that is May the 11th, and that shapes as a potential decider for top spot and home advantage through the playoffs.
I may even be finding me a Sky Channel for that one, for that particular matchup. Yes. That sounds like a ripper. Meanwhile, a lot of the talk has been since the start of the season, the Hurricanes coming out of the gate and the Crusaders having a shocker, and it just hasn't got any better. I mean, hard act to follow, obviously, but you would be, with the departure of Scott Robertson and others, of course, but you'd be... You wouldn't have been wanting these kind of results if you were taking over this far into the competition, Mark.
Yes, very much, Catherine. Up is down and down is up in Super Rugby this year. The Hurricanes are, as we've discussed, are sashaying through it with ridiculous season, and the Crusaders cannot buy a win. Well, they've actually brought one win. One win out of 8 matches. They're 1-7, and would you believe bottom of the table, which is a horror start for Rob Penny, taking over from Scott Razor-Robertson. There was hope that they might have turned things around when they beat the Chiefs at home a few weeks back, but since then the Crusaders have lost to the Waratahs in a Golden Point thriller and got thumped by the, would you believe, the mighty Western Force, 37-15 at the weekend. So they sit 1-7 and on 7 points and already 6 points off the top 8. 8th spot is held by Moana Pacifica. So they've got a lot to do. Is Rob Penny's job safe? That's the crux of the matter. I think it is for this season. There'll be no mid-season firings. No one really pulls that panic button in a competition as kind of compact as Super Rugby. But if he doesn't get the Crusaders into the finals, I believe the Crusaders might act and might make a change at the top. So there's a lot of pressure on not just the Crusaders to start getting some wins on board and get into that top 8, but also on Rob Penny if he wants to keep his job.
Now, speaking of the Warriors, what's the story? A rare Anzac Day home clash against the Gold Coast Titans at Mount Smart. They had a bit of a thumping, though, in their last match.
Yes. They get it's their first home Anzac Day clash since 2015. So something to look forward to. And there's talk of a massive celebration at yet another sold-out, we call it Mount Smart Stadium, I think it's Go Media Stadium these days, but there's a big, big Anzac Day celebration planned, which should thrill that crowd, and hopefully the Warriors do too with their play. Yes, they're coming off a loss, 30-12 to the Dragons. in Wollongong at the weekend, which sort of was a bit of a spanner in the works after they'd kind of turned things around a bit and had a bit of a roll on. There's a bit of talk, Catherine, that the signing of James Fisher-Harris, which was announced just before the Dragons game, and he's effectively they're talking about this being the biggest signing in the franchise's history, or certainly one of them. He replaces essentially Adam Fanua-Blake next season. He comes in from the Penrith Panthers with real championship pedigree, and he's a guy that's moving home for personal reasons. A great pickup from the by the Warriors, but did it distract them? Did it? They certainly took their eye off the ball against the Dragons. That was a very un-Warriors-like performance. Look, they've got Sean Johnson, who's playing through a bit of an Achilles issue. They have got a little bit of a lengthening injury list. So some things going on. So a home clash, Anzac Day. Spectacular, might be just what the doctor ordered in a very, very compact and tight competition. I think the Warriors, 3 wins, a draw, and 3 losses. It's still very early, and everyone's sorting themselves out. Everyone's had a few losses seemingly, but this is a big one for them. You'd want to see them turn it around against the Gold Coast Titans.
And are we expecting big turnouts again? How are the numbers supporting them this year?
Oh, they're massive. Just home sellout after home sellout. And there's talk that the Waz, as we all know them, of course, beautifully, the Waz now own Auckland. The Blues are a pale imitation, as we've discussed, also winning well, but not drawing the same sort of interest and engendering the same sort of, I guess, kind of fervent following. So let's watch this space, and maybe rugby fans need a little bit of something lit under them, because apathy rules a bit with the Blues. Not great turnouts, kind of middling. They had a good crowd for the Crusaders game. They haven't quite been able to match that. They're hovering around that sort of 10,000-ish mark, whereas the Warriors are packing Mount Smart Stadium, 17,000-odd each
Good.
week. So, is Auckland now a rugby league town? Well, let's see, but it's certainly heading in that direction.
All righty. Now, the netball, the Mystics still the team to beat in the ANZ Premiership.
Yeah, interesting. It's a real as the season's at very early stages. It looks like a bit of a haves and a have-nots. The Mystics, defending champs and winners 2 of the last 3. Mainland Tactics, the team considered to be their kind of chief rivals, and the Central Poles have all started 2-0, and the poor old Northern Stars and Waikato Magic and Southern Steel are all 0-2. So very much top three, bottom three look to that competition. And wouldn't you know it, Monday night at Truss Arena, the Mystics with super shooter Grace, the Silver Fern, the wonderful Silver Fern, Grace Moiki, host the Tactics. And that will tell us a bit about where that sort of championship could be going in netball. A bit of a top of the table one to savour.
Very good. Now in swimming, Lewis Clebert, he is joining a chorus of people actually frustrated with the lenient treatment of some swimmers who failed drug tests. Just explain more.
Yeah, good story this. And in Olympic year, no less. So it's emerged that. Would you believe 23 Chinese swimmers tested positive for a banned drug, a heart medication that does enhance your ability to train long distances and recover? 23 Chinese swimmers tested positive for this drug at the Tokyo Olympics, and they've all escaped ban and further action.
How so? How so? Who makes these calls now?
Well, it's the World Anti-Doping Authority, and they've claimed that, they've backed a Chinese claim that the tests were tainted or taken inadvertently, more to the point, and they've basically let these swimmers off the hook. Now, look, that's promoted an outcry from a number of areas, including the US's own Anti-Doping Authority, who have accused WADA of sweeping this under the rug and ignoring convention and letting the sport down. Lewis Clairbird, who's a top medley swimmer and a medal contender for Paris, and also was, I think, in the Olympic final, eighth in the Olympic final, won by a Chinese swimmer in the medley. So is affected. Has admitted his, I guess, disdain for this decision. He says we're all pretty gutted. He said we put our trust in the World Anti-Doping Agency to do right by us, and I feel like a lot of the athletes have felt like they haven't done their best for us. So these are strong words. These are claims that have been echoed around the swimming world. I think there's more to come on this. 23 Chinese swimmers seems a lot to be, seems it seems a high number to take a drug inadvertently, Catherine. So let's just say there's major, major question marks, including threats of suits and anti-suits between WADA and the US Anti-Doping Authority, who are an independent body. So there's a bit of a soap opera unveiling here in
Well, there
swimming, and
is.
not a good look.
There is a
Not a good
soap
look.
opera, but it's on a pretty fundamental matter. You either have credibility over these rules or you don't. That's a long-standing story, I know. Mark, thanks very much. Mark Hinton, senior sports writer for Stuff.